Okay, Jonathan, you now.
Hello.
Whoa, that was loud.
There you are.
What?
I think it was a chair squeaking over there.
How you doing, Richard? Can you hear us yet?
Excuse me. If we get in front of the microphone.
Oh,
ow, I just stuck in my toe with a chair.
Okay, we're having issues.
Ow!
Oh, sorry.
It'll collapse.
I really hope you're recording this, Richard.
We are. Guess what's going to be at the front of this episode?
That is the best news I've gotten all day. And it's been a day full of good news.
She wanted to move it, so I moved it.
So it'll be closer, because this didn't suck in it.
You see the little meter over there?
Yeah, which one?
We're already about to blow the meter.
Oh. Hi!
Episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Lenny.
And today we are visiting with the Captain Samantha Majors, otherwise known as Crystal Willis of the USS Grissom of Starship Grissom, and the producer Richard Wells, and a writer Jennifer Free of the Starship Grissom series that is coming out really in the next, within the week.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, guys, thank you for joining us.
Yay.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited to be here.
Thank you.
Don't get kicked out of the restaurant.
Yeah, what restaurant are you at that they're allowing you this non... Is it Shenanigans? Because
we're
they would work there.
We're at the secret restaurant.
No, no, no. Vans. Just Vans.
Vans. In Moore, Oklahoma.
Oh, and Moore. Okay.
They have a cool little meeting room.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, now.
Oh, so you're in a separate room. They've segregated you, and so now you can be loud, and I like
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. No Starfleet cool. personnel allowed in the main room. There
you go. The Starship Grissom is actually a production of Starbase Studios that is produced down in Oklahoma City. They have a studio set there, several different sets. They have a 360 TOS bridge. That's the original series for anybody that's not familiar with Star Trek. They have a two-bed medical bay, transporter bay, and they are currently will be beginning working on a briefing room, if I'm correct, Richard?
Working on the briefing room.
What's that?
he can hear us. He just wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah. We are starting the briefing room. Vance Major and Jeremy Menard ran the GoFundMe for us, so we got funding for the briefing room, and now we're working on... having a local company that's going to cut those weird, odd-shaped beams out of styrofoam.
Okay.
It's a company that usually does, like, the decorative stuff on the outside of buildings.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
And so
cool.
They're making the beams for us.
Cool. So that'll be another fun thing enterprise, to pun yeah. intended, to have you guys do.
Was that pun intended?
Yes.
Yes, he said pun intended.
All right. One of the things I want to ask you guys is what... Of course, what everybody wants to know when we do this, whose brainchild was Grissom and how did it start beginning and everything of that nature?
Well, I think Richard kind of really started it. It was kind of always in his mind. And his cousin, which is my friend, her name is Tracy, she kind of got some teachers together and she kind of floated around the idea and it just kind of went from there. It just really grew into what we have now, which is kind of amazing, really.
And whose idea was it to spin it with the educational concept?
Well, I've always had the idea that since we had such a unique facility here, that we ought to be more community involved. So I talked with Tracy about trying to do an educational show. But really the concept for Grissom itself was her and the writers. It's completely different than anything I had thought up, and much better than anything I had thought up.
Ah, don't sell yourself short. Of course, you might be shorter than me, though. I don't know. So, and I have to admit, Richard and I have shared the same name. And we happened to go down to Starbase Studios a couple of weeks ago. And we, of course, got nicknames. And his is R1 and mine is R2. So if we slip back into that, you'll know why. So,
I thought that was really appropriate for you, yeah, because of your Star Wars love.
Yes, I'm afraid I'm more of a Star Wars.
He's a closet Star Wars lover, guys, just so you know.
Yeah, he's not one of us. Kick him out. Kick him out.
Hey, we like Star Wars, too.
Yeah, I love Star Wars. I'm actually, he's probably way more attuned with the Star Trek universe than I am. Although I do know quite a bit about The Next Generation. Don't throw stuff. That's just the show I grew up on. That was like the show that I watched, other than like
Deep Space Nine, or
I did get into that one. And really after that I didn't find much time for television for the next 15 or so years. So I, you know, after 2000 I was pretty much in the wind, and now I have cable again, so I may check out the new series when it comes out. But
well, they also have Enterprise. I've been watching that one. That one's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've never actually seen it. I think I saw maybe an episode or two of Voyager, and mm-hmm, I saw quite a bit of Deep Space Nine and literally all of The Next Generation. I have been given required reading homework by Scott Johnson, who you folks may know.
Of course.
I do have Netflix, and he has informed me that by the time I see him again, I will have watched all of the original series on, because it's on there, so it's like 76 episodes or something like that that he said. So yeah, I could kill that probably in a couple weeks with my wife just power watching Star Trek. Yeah, we like to watch entire series on Netflix, so that would be mm-hmm, even a normal one.
Oh, no, I grew up watching it, you know, with my parents, but then being older, like, I don't really remember it. But I mean, I remember watching it, but I don't remember the specifics. So it's pretty cool to even go back and watch it again and then compare it to what we're doing. It's pretty cool.
Now, when I was a little kid, I probably saw some reruns mm-hmm, of the original series before The Next Generation came on, because I do remember Kirk, and I do remember, I specifically remember him hitting people with two fists in an uppercut. That was like his signature move, wasn't it? Like, he loved to bust people like with both fists, yeah, like you're getting the double Kirk slammer. that's all I really remember from it, because I was, like I say, the last time I watched it as a child was when I was a small child.
I was always a fan of Spock.
Oh yes, it was a tie, I think, between Spock and Kirk, who the ladies liked the best.
Yeah.
So
what's wrong with Scotty?
Well, do you know those Scotsmen?
For me, it was that Spock was science and nerdy, and he made it okay. Like, it was cool.
And let's take it back to the education, since we just talked about science and nerdy. Crystal, you're one of the captains of the miniseries that are going on in the fan films. What was your reaction when you said, hey, let's do this, and they said, okay, you're our captain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently she wasn't too excited.
No, I remember Richard calling me and telling me, and I was really excited. I think I went running through the house after I hung up the phone with him. I was just like, that's a dream come true. So it was pretty exciting. I'm blushing right now.
Well, Crystal's amazing. She always is spot on and really brings out her character.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jennifer.
The best captain.
Thank you, Richard.
She's a captain major.
I keep saying I want to clone her and have her do every part.
Well, me, Richard, and Jonathan were fortunate enough to get to work with Crystal for about a half a day. And I got this little story. One time she was pretending to be asleep. And she's an actress, you know. Obviously, she's decent at it, because I thought she was asleep, and I told Renee, I said, she's asleep. And she jumped at me. And she she told me that she was in the zone and looked at me with this fierce look. And I'm like,
that was like method acting. Yeah.
I literally thought she had fallen asleep. That's how, I mean, and I would have swore she was asleep if she didn't jump up that second and like scare me.
Wow.
I walked into the room where she was in the bed, and she was just like,
"What type of hell is this?"
In the hospital bed.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Was this in a dream, Jonathan?
No.
Oh, you mean there?
Yes.
Oh, well, why don't you preface it?
At the studio.
I think somebody's turning red here too.
Jonathan also can blush. Really deeply red, too. Oh, my gosh.
We might have to come back to him. He's kind of recomposing himself.
And anyway, she was laying in bed, and like Lenny was saying, that she was in the zone. Next thing I know, she pops up. Hey, take a picture of my arm. I'm going, that came out of nowhere.
I love pictures. What can I say?
Yes.
The blood makeup that those folks were using, they were pretty good with that stuff. It looked way more realistic than I thought it would in person, you know. I mean, on the film, it's supposed to look realistic, but you're through the lens of a camera. So, it looked like you were going to bleed out.
With
that was a lot of blood.
Yeah. With a Grisham, though, you're going to pretty much be marketing this probably for high schoolers, middle schoolers, so probably not going to get as violent as what we were viewing there at our filming with Renee. But is that your age goal for the Grisham series?
Yeah. It probably won't be as bloody, but as that other show was, but there will be lots of action and violence. There's going to be some fight scenes. And originally, the teachers were wanting to kill a red shirt every episode.
Wow, okay.
But I think we've gotten past that. I mean, it got to the point where we're talking about killing the same red shirt every episode.
Right, that's pretty funny. T-shirts.
Yeah, I think we've got to skip not every episode, but there'll be a few.
Poor red shirts.
Now we're going to let our captain fight the Klingons when they beam on board the bridge.
Okay.
So that'll be pretty dramatic.
Spoiler alert.
Oops, no spoilers.
We didn't say a thing, Richard.
Yeah, that was
that was not us.
That was totally Richard. R1. That was from your side of this. For somebody that has pretty much no idea how this would work, can you kind of run through it for me? Because Richard had sent me something, R2 over here, he had sent me something, but I've been working a new job. I literally got off work an hour before I had to be at this podcast. So, and I went in at 8 o'clock this morning. So,
well, I watched it before, after work. So
I haven't had time to watch it yet. So, I really don't know, but for the folks out there that don't know, can you kind of explain, the difference between Starship Grisham and what's already kind of out there, what kind of sets Grisham apart from the other, fan films in the genre?
Well, first of all, we are educational. It's 20 minutes for each episode, and it's 8 episodes. And each episode really covers, you know, its own plot, but it also introduces certain topics that teachers are talking about in their classrooms for 7th and 8th, and then secondary. And then we have lesson plans that go with each one of those topics. And so for each episode, we cover reading, science, math, social studies, leadership, and then fine arts. And so we have each one of those somehow integrated into each episode, and then we kind of expand on that in the lesson plans that also can include worksheets, PowerPoints, pretty much anything that the teacher would use. So a teacher can show that episode, download everything, and be good to go as far as, you know, anything they need on paper to do that lesson.
I can totally hear you guys whispering.
I'm just like, Chris is over here coaching her.
Along with each episode having its own lesson plans, there's like a running theme or a story arc over the entire eight-show series that has to do with Kepler 186f. So the Grissom is actually going to study a planet to see if it's suitable for colonization. And everything that we talk about in the show about this planet is actually information on Kepler 186f, and we're kind of mirroring the SETI Institute's like theoretical plans for actually colonizing SETI 186F.
But in our script, it's L197.
Yep.
Right.
And well, that's awesome.
And with the teacher's aspect with this, are any of you with the educational background, or did you have a teacher come on board to write the lesson plans and PowerPoints to help distribute those? Or was that?
All the writers are teachers. They all teach at
Highland East and Moore. All of
shout
us
out.
Are.
Shout out.
Yeah. So all the writers were basically a group of teachers, and then we kind of picked on our strengths which lesson plan categories we were going to do. I mean, since I teach science and math, those are the two lesson plans I worked on. So, I mean, it really is a collaborative effort as far as everybody doing different things and inputting things that they have knowledge on.
Well, I think if I had Star Trek in eighth grade, I might have made a little bit better grades.
That's what we hope for.
And that's what I think about this idea. You know, this is something that it is in and of itself can be a tool that the teachers can use, and it can be given out to anyone. And that, any teachers anywhere could use it because it's fan film. So it has to be, you know, gratis, free for everyone. And then they can use it for years to come. So this is something that, you know, can be intricate. Integrated into school systems. And if it's successful,
and even
it's something.
Homeschools too. I mean, homeschoolers can use this too.
For sure. And then, you know, it's something that, you know, I think it's a great idea that, you know, other people I think that people will start to pick up on it and do other things. I think you'll be mocked. Mockery is not a bad thing. It is a really great idea. And from the moment that you I first heard this idea from your mouth when I was at your Promenadicon last October. At Starbase Studios, and I walked up and asked what Starship Grissom was about, and just out of curiosity, and you know, you started telling me that, you know, you were going to make a Star Trek fan film miniseries, but you were going to make it as educational tools for children, and I just thought, you know, this is something that you can't even get paid for, and that, you know, and everyone's just doing it for love of the show and for love of, you know, fandom and doing, you know, fun stuff like that. And here you guys are going this extra mile and actually doing something that's very selfless for your community. And, you know, it's a really great idea. I think it's something that, even if they never heard of Star Trek, just because of the cool outfits and the fight scenes and the fact that it has a plot, you're going to get these kids interested. Now, you're probably going to get them hooked. And that's great because, you know, I think that it's innovative, and innovation in education is a very powerful tool, especially if they haven't seen a lot of it before. The shock value of seeing some of them might even see some of, you know, people they know from, because you're going to be distributing it to your area first, obviously. And in that area, you know, there'll be even be, you know, opportunities for some of these kids probably to go to Starbase Studios and meet the cast of Starship Grissom and the teachers that write it and all that stuff. So there's a lot of opportunity for what Richard was talking about, getting into the community more. And I think that's really brilliant and a great idea. Bravo, guys, for real. I think it's going to be a great show.
Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you.
No problem.
I just have something in my eye. That's all.
Like I said, I go organic. I'm telling you how I feel. That's it. But I think Jonathan had something.
I'll let Richard say something first, and then.
Oh, I was just going to ask real fast. Lenny kind of brought this topic up to a degree with releasing it locally as well as globally, since this is going to be on YouTube. We kind of mentioned when the release date kind of was going to be, but would one of you like to mention the exact premiere date that this will be actually live
so online? We can watch it on YouTube?
When is this show going to air?
This one will, I'm going to try to get it up on this Thursday, which is the 21st.
Okay, so Grissom should be online when this show airs.
Okay.
We're trying to get it out Wednesday.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome.
Our CGI guy is just like
now. Going. Richard's going to try to put it on Wednesday. Watch and
CGI
see if he doesn't.
CGI guy's going 100 miles an hour trying to get everything finished up.
Right.
I don't know if I can work that fast.
Yeah, it is Monday, and we have another interview podcast tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I can sleep when I'm dead, I guess. No, I actually don't have to work tomorrow, so all I'm going to do is lay on my couch all day and then drag my sorry butt in my house slippers up to the podcast tomorrow, too. But I did. I worked very hard today. I want you guys to know that.
So on the 21st or on the 20th?
Yeah, on the 20th, that's our set date. That's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
Yes. That's yep. That's in
so,
2 days.
So, yeah, it'll be instead of being a YouTube release, it'll be released on our website so we can keep the episode and the video introductions and all the lesson plans and everything together so, you know, teachers have access to all the material.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And, of course, Starbase Studios is going to be having an open house.
And that's going to be on the right. On the Starship. On the Starship Grissom website, you have your own
grissom.starbasestudios.net.
Grissom.starbasestudios.net. Got it. All right. I know where to look.
Yeah, .starbasestudios.net.
Yep. Got it.
And yeah, and the following Saturday is the Starbase Studios open house. So if you're listening to this Thursday, make plans to get to Oklahoma Saturday so you can come tour the sets.
And with the release and everything, and some of you are said you are teachers, when you go to conferences, not cons, but conferences, are you going to be promoting this, not just within Oklahoma, but trying to reach other states so that they can actually get it spread out a little bit faster, or are you just going to concentrate in Oklahoma right now?
Conferences? Sure. No, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Well, we happen to know some teachers in Kansas. FYI.
Yeah. Once in a while they have some conferences.
Well, that's something to worth checking into.
Yeah, I think it would be.
I know. Yeah. I can tell you there's a Oklahoma Library Association down there that they have their conference once a year, just like every state. So that might be an avenue where you can also present it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you know, just for the comic pop library aspect of this, I think that this is something that we would definitely want in the library and accessible to the teachers here, and anyone really, like you said, even for homeschoolers, you know. So that's something that we would definitely you know, we could see, you know. And really, whenever it's on the internet and all they have to do is basically print out the materials for the students and for the teachers, correct? Whenever they, I mean, you said it's going to be all there in like a package deal where they have access to everything right there on your website. Is that correct, Richard?
Right. Everything's already put together and can be downloaded.
So all we need to do is, all I need to do is make up a little poster and stick it up on the wall down here, and then people will know where to go and get the good stuff. So that's easy. And that's what makes the internet so beautiful.
And the next step's crack. No. The good stuff. And we're getting them hooked. Yes.
The next step is not crack, Richard. Crack is many, many, many steps from getting people hooked on Star Trek for schools. In fact, it's on the entire other side of the street.
The main character, at least for the main first episode that Jonathan and I watched, that you were
coming. And I will. Yeah. I just haven't. I'm sorry. Okay.
We appreciate you, Richard, by letting us view that early so we can watch it before this. But it's Cadet Wiley Strong. And who's playing her? And basically describe that character and how it relates to what you're marketing to with its teenagers.
Well, our show is really through her eyes and how she comes into her own. She's just won a medal at the Science Academy.
The Pegasus Award.
Pegasus Award, yes.
And she's played by Keely Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing. She gives me goosebumps sometimes when she is doing her stuff.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, happy to be there. She is in awe of our captain.
Yeah.
And she is there to really report back to SETI about the planet. But then, you know, stuff happens. And then she ends up having to fulfill other roles and, you know, overcome challenges. And she does meet them.
The idea was we thought having a high school kid as the lead character would the high schoolers and school age kids watching it could relate better.
Yes.
Okay, got to ask a question. She's not the Wesley Crusher type genius, though, is she?
She is a genius.
But not the snooty.
She's Wesley not Crusher male. Type.
Yeah, but you've seen the first
episode. What's wrong with Wesley Crusher?
A little cocky.
Wait, hang on a second, guys. I'm sorry. Hang on. What the fuck is wrong with Wesley Crusher? Just kidding, Richard.
What was that,
she knows
Richard?
Her stuff, but then yeah. She also is learning from others that are on the ship.
I will admit that when I watched it, I kind of did what you were saying, Richard. I kind of did see the kind of
heavy breathing on this end.
Yeah,
that was
thank you, Lenny.
Well, one of the things...
What's wrong with Wesley Crusher?
Well, one of the things... I'll go on that while Jonathan rethinks about what he was going to say. Wesley Crusher, to me, was just too much of a know-it-all. He saved it too much. We're just watching this first little character. She's excited, yes. But she seems to be a little bit more grounded and not as snooty, maybe?
I don't think you understood the metaphoric intent of the writers of Wesley Crusher, because I think he was a brilliant character.
And they want him to be crushed. No.
I mean, I did see a little bit of the knowledge on her. I mean, I saw a lot of knowledge, but it seemed to me like she was a little too eager, but maybe that was just me.
She was a cheerleader.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, she was like, I mean, it suited the character. I really thought it suited the character because she was all preppy. Yeah. Oh, so how do we do this? Okay.
I think that in the 23rd or 24th century, that kids, that their parents and their forebearers are driving around the stars at Mach 9, or not Mach 9, but Warp 9, excuse me. I think that they would be pretty excited about going on starships. I think that if you, Jonathan, went onto a starship at 27, you would be like literally with pom-poms, bop, 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 and so...
I guess it was.
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but I think I can understand the excitement.
If I recall, you were kind of speechless when you first walked onto our bridge.
I know I was. I thought it was cool. I will not. But
was that character written that way intentionally? She's a little bit peppy, kind of like the cheerleader-esque type attitude, but yet she's still grounded enough that she's likable. That's how I got it. I don't know.
I mean, it was kind of written that way.
We kind of give our actors and actresses freedom to kind of develop a character on how they think, you know, and their personal personality. So it's also showing Keeley through there, because she is like that in real life. So...
Well, that's good
to
be.
She does an amazing job.
Yeah, and I pushed her, too, whenever we were doing the first episode, to really come off as excited as she could be. And, you know, lots of energy. You know, the first show, since it's all introduction, there's not really a lot of action, so we needed some excitement to feed off of.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, almost, is Crystal's character, Captain Majors.
Yes.
She's kind of a, if I get this wrong, Crystal, correct me, but she's kind of like a by-the-book, you know, toe the line type of character. Mm-hmm. Is that your take on her, Crystal?
That would be my take of her. That's the way I perceive her to be. So, I mean, she's and she's also looking out for the cadet. I kind of take her under my wing.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure it out completely, I think, but yeah, she's by the book. She's just that.
Oh, yes. She's just a badass captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really act out until later, but, you know, my badassness will come out later.
Yeah. She's got people to take care of, and she takes that job very seriously.
Yep. And, you know, we saw her smiling all over the place while we were down there, but there's no smiles.
No, there was not.
So,
yeah. I would expect nothing else from Crystal Willis. I think she's a fantastic actress.
Yes, I do think that she is. When we actually got to see her acting at first hand, and I turned around and said, "This is one of the better actresses that I've seen."
Thank you. I was like, me?
Something in your eye now?
I know, there is a little something in my eye.
Well, one of these, just another question, and anybody can jump in on these questions. It's not directed towards anyway, per se, but I see the extremes, and is this the case where the extremes are going to kind of mesh together and kind of, you know, the cadet is going to soften the captain a little bit, but the captain's also going to strengthen the cadet as well. So
wouldn't it be crazy if the Starship Grissom crashed on the planet and then it's like this cadet and captain fighting these barbarian people? Like, that'd be a wild wild ending. Like, and like totally, like,
wasn't, you know, quite like, going there, but
they have the Klingon weapons because the stupid Klingons boarded and got their butts kicked, as I assume is going to happen. So they'll have the Klingon weapons, they can take care of themselves.
But is that kind of how you see those
family? And they take care of each other, and the longer they're together and the challenges that they go through together really builds them together. I'm saying together a lot.
yeah, if really I wrote just... that, I would now go back and find other words for every other together.
So they are going to kind of balance off each other and kind of
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this is going to be 8 episodes long, so basically an 8 episode season. Is there going to be a
Is it a crime if I ask somebody a specific question?
No, go
ahead. Or do your rules of freelance question? Just all right, this Jennifer, this question is for Jennifer. Anyone can answer, I guess, according to Richard. So, Jonathan, if you want to fill this one. But Jennifer, is this your you said that you're one of the writers and you're also a teacher. Is this your first endeavor to write a screenplay, or is this something that you already do, or are you already a writer in other rights, or is this your first endeavor into the writing
world?
Yeah.
It's definitely,
I was going to say abyss, but whatever. World works,
like,
I guess.
I really had no idea what I was doing when we started this. I don't really do a lot of writing. I just kind of add science-y stuff in there. I kind of feel like I know stuff, which is kind of cool. And I do help out other stuff, too. Like, I kind of do some filming sometimes, and I'll help out building the sets and stuff. I just kind of do a little bit of everything. It's just, I never knew this world existed where you could be a nerd and be geeky, and it was really cool, you know? And you're doing it for fun as an adult, which is kind of hard, you know, to... You only have so much time, but to be able to do it, it's amazing because it's rewarding, especially when you're going to inspire kids.
True. And if this goes over well enough, are you going to look at possibly doing another season with another story arc?
We don't really know yet. I mean, I would like to, but it's really going to depend on, you know, which ones of the cast want to stay on. You know, our high schooler, by the time we're done, she's going to be graduated.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're just going to have to cross that bridge when the time comes.
We're kind of in that same boat.
Yeah.
Our high schooler's graduating this year. She's got senioritis. She's been missing a lot.
Yeah, as you notice, she's not here now. Yeah, we're actually in the market for a new high schooler.
That kind of sounded bad.
I know, and we're three grown men. That this isn't going to go well at all. No. Do you have any more daughters?
No. Sorry.
Yeah, actually, I think that my wife is actually... We want a female on our crew, and it doesn't really matter the age. I think my wife is... She's very funny, and I love her very much, and she's going to come and do one of our movie podcasts that we review, so we'll see. I hope she likes it, because...
Hopefully you won't see in the papers.
Then I won't get...
Comic Pop Podcast breaks up marriage, but hopefully not. I think it'll be fun. So, with the... Grissom, this is a Miranda class. Would you mind talking about the difference between the Constitution and Miranda? That way, you know, the listeners know what's going on with the ship.
Between the Constitution and Miranda?
Right. The difference is just some of the things. This is a scientific vessel, of course, but what they would be familiar with if they saw it.
Yeah, we chose a Miranda.
Jonathan just left. I have no idea why.
I see that. We chose the Miranda because...
Jonathan, it wasn't that bad of a question.
Memory Alpha, and it was talking about the USS Miranda, was a scientific ship, so we thought we should be the same class.
Okay.
The main difference is the Constitution has, like, you know, the secondary hull that's down below the saucer section.
Right.
And then the two nacelles come off of that and are up top. You know, on a Miranda class, there's not a secondary hull. The two nacelles go down and are on the bottom of the ship. And then on our particular Miranda class, we have an extra, what they call a sci pod or science pod or something that mounts on top of the ship. It's extra sensors and science experiments or something. You know, just cool-looking things that the CGI guy came up with.
Okay.
To mention this, the Miranda class and talking about the effects that are being done, the opening sequence, I thought whoever did that for you did a really nice job with it. And I'm not sure. You kind of used the Star Trek lettering and everything, so yeah, it fit what you're trying to do. So I appreciated the intro for the show. Let's do a few quick fun questions here that I just wanted to ask, and then we'll kind of wrap it up since you guys are going to have to leave the restaurant there. A couple of questions on the casting. I wanted to ask whether it's Jennifer or whomever and what Crystal thinks about mentioning these names, but you have a Commander Tesla, which I'm assuming is harking back to Tesla himself.
Nikola yes. Tesla.
Yes. And then with Crystal, I wanted to ask, how were you able to not smirk when you asked the navigator's name is Garmin?
Garmin, really? You didn't want to go with TomTom? You thought TomTom might be a little too.
Actually, when we were thinking about it being a guy, it was going to be Tom Garden.
Tom Garden.
Tom T. Garmin.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we kind of did a play on everybody's names.
Yeah.
So what are the rest?
Doing a writers' meeting, and we were all getting a little silly and punchy.
Yeah, it was fun though.
Rex
is my favorite.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
I actually wanted to ask a question about Commander Tesla.
Okay.
And I was thinking about her. She was the one who the actor. I don't know what her name is. The actress who plays her is the one who actually.
Juliana Rode.
She's the one who actually introduced me to Starship Grissom over at Promenadicon.
Hmm.
And we talked about it, and she told me about it, and I thought it was an interesting concept, and I couldn't wait to see it. Does she normally talk that fast as she talked on the show?
What, did she talk that fast to you?
Actually, I think something in the encoding has speeded it up a little bit.
Okay.
Actually, whenever we went back and we were trying to do our ADR shots and everything, everybody was having trouble trying to keep up with themselves. So I think something between having to, you know, doing the encoding and having to re-encode the video to work on that certain computer we're editing on probably messed up the timing.
Okay, because that was my only complaint. I thought that she did a brilliant job doing her character, but I was just like, does she normally speak this fast?
I always have questions. Oh, they have to leave, so now I gotta hurry. No, I'm just kidding. Really, I think I've asked all my questions. I usually try to get it in pretty quick. Okay.
Just one quick question before we close out then. The release schedule for the episodes, do you have an idea what the release schedule is, or do the instructors just need to go back to the site every so often?
Yeah, we're hoping to release an episode about every 3 months.
Okay.
But until we actually start doing that, I'm not exactly sure how realistic that goal is.
Okay.
Well, so it's we actually have three episodes filmed.
Okay.
So we're a little bit ahead of the game, but we still have to get them edited and the CGI made and everything. So,
okay, very cool, very cool. So, and you guys are needing to leave, so we want to wrap this up for you because I know you guys are busy. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to mention again to everybody listening, we've been talking to Jennifer Free. She's one of the writers. Richard Wells is the producer, and Crystal Willis is the Captain Samantha Majors from the Starship Grissom fan film educational series, and that'll be premiering this Wednesday, April 20th. You can go to their website, grissom.starbasestudios.net, to download the episode and teaching materials. We appreciate all three of you coming on tonight, so thank you very much for doing this for us.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it was very fun. I'm going to go home and watch that episode, sped up or not.
Are you going to let us know what you think?
Yes, I will. I'll blast you on Facebook.
We're going to have follow-up questions tomorrow night?
I guess if you guys can find another restaurant that'll put up with your shenanigans.
Probably not at this point.
But bring speakers, because I like to be heard. No, yeah, that's great. I was on my way here and I was thinking, you know, I didn't even have time to watch the episode. I shouldn't even talk. But you guys are a lot of fun, and you make it, you know, I want to watch it now. I'm not in 7th or 8th grade, but I feel like I can learn a little bit more. So I'm going to go ahead and watch this series and get me some edumacation on.
All right, we're going to wrap up. So thank you again, all three of you, for being with us. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We've been having fun here. I hope you three have been having fun with us as well.
Yes, we have.
All right. We will see everybody on the next go around. Everybody, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.